Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Principles for marriage. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you would save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek the circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bond servant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bond servant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bond servant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bond servants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. This is the word of the Lord.
It takes verse from verse 17. Only let each person lead a life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which the Lord has called him. And something interesting to note, the congregation wrote to Paul. They asked him some questions that were on their mind. And these are the result, the marriage and the life as they were called. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed this morning to witness the installation of Reg and Gary. They will be asked to answer yes to the question if they believe that in the call of this congregation, they are being called by God Himself. In the holy office as elders. But let us first ask, what is calling? Calling means that the Lord said to you, come after me. I go before you. I formed you from clay, will equip you for your ministry. This is for all believers, not only for elders. I will work with you, with your hard edges, your weaknesses, and I will transform you and make you holy. Calling does not ask for costs, does not look for benefits, and it takes time and dedication. It asks for prayer. And that's all callings, as husband, as wife, as elders, as a pastor. Calling means less about yourself, more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Less your own words, your own wisdom, but the wisdom of the Lord. This is not only relevant to Rich and Gary, it includes you and me. The Lord who calls us. The Lord who calls us as believers. And our calling as believers is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ above all. He should be our first love, the most important. And His word should have all authority in my life. Calling is a verb. We as a congregation are called to be one. One in love, one in heart, one in faith, one in mission. With the purpose to live to God's glory. To serve God above all. And serve one another. And so the Apostle Paul focused a lot on calling in his first letter to the Corinthians. If you want to summarize this whole letter in one sentence, you can summarize it, calling to holiness. Calling to holiness. And already in chapter 1 verse 26, he said to the congregation, for consider your calling, brothers. And so the Apostle Paul was referring to something more important than anything else. And that was the work of God, who called him out of darkness into the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were called out of death into life. This is how the Lord works. Darkness and the world and their evil desires is the place where evil hides and evil deeds can be indulging, unobserved. Nobody sees you in the dark. But darkness is also death and eternal death. And it should be so clear that an unbeliever rejects Jesus and therefore also life. Unbeliever believes all ends with death. But there's worst news. It ends with eternal death. And this powerful light that shines through Christ, when Christ was born, when the gospel came alive, shines not only in the darkness of this world, but as the gospel is preached, It also shines in the very hearts of men and women chosen by God in grace. Chapter 1, verse 28. Then God called us so that the darkness is overturned, so that we could become children of light, who turn from sin and embrace Christ by faith alone. Calling us first and utmost the work of God, that opened our eyes to see Christ as the one and only Savior, that we receive Him for salvation and want to serve Him as He commands. And then His Word becomes the most important in our life. This means that we become more like Christ, the Lord of light, who has called us out of darkness to walk with Him in a new and God-glorifying light. And therefore, calling is the act of God who leads us to faith in Jesus, sanctifies us through His Spirit so that we can grow and be equipped in everything He calls us to do so that we can live holy as we are called. This includes our marriages. It started first at a marriage with Adam and Eve. And also our circumstances, the life the Lord has assigned to us, verses 7 to 24. And you may ask this morning, what has marriage and the installation of elders to do with one another? Was this even a good choice to preach about this? We read in 1 Timothy 3 verse 2. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And then in verse 2 of our passage, in 1 Corinthians 7, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. And therefore this passage has everything to do with our elders. Above reproach, a husband of one wife, and all the other qualifications are qualifications of the life of sanctification to which the Lord has called us. This is for the overseers, the elders, but also for every believer who the Lord has called from darkness into light through our Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically relevant to a world where the institution of marriage is attacked daily. Sky-high immorality. Sadly to say, when a number of divorces are getting more. There were 56,244 divorces granted in Australia in 2021. Not so many marriages because of COVID. This is a sad state. Therefore, we need to listen carefully, brothers and sisters, to what the Lord is teaching us about our calling as believers in marriage, but also in everyday life. This is that we should become more like Jesus. I will preach about a second passage in a later time, verses 17 to 20 to 42. But all three passages in chapter 7 belong together. This morning we are going to hear about the principles for marriage. I'm not going to discuss verses 1 to 5 in explicit language because of our children. But I encourage you to read this so thoroughly as husband and wife, also as singles and widows. Considering the danger of sexual immorality ever present in the Corinthian culture and our own here in Australia, it's appropriate for husband and wife to have each other. And as an adult, you would know what I mean. That means in an intimate sense. Paul means that husband and wife should continue in intimate relations. They should not withhold privileges from one another. And he based that we have a mutual responsibility towards one another. It's wrong for a husband to withhold affection, verse 3, from his wife. And since Paul meant this to apply to every Christian marriage, it shows that every wife has affection due for her. And every wife is due affection because she's the wife of a Christian man. And so the obligation of the Christian marriage is so concrete that our bodies belong to one another. The oneness, the unity of a marriage, where God has led every man and woman to one another, and there should be no one else. And we should be holy in our marriages. Do not deprive one another of affection. And the word for deprive is the same word of defraud in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 8, where a brother defrauded a congregation. When we deny physical affection to a marriage partner, we are defrauding them. There's a great warning. Paul says this can lead to temptation by Satan. And the principle in these verses is important. God makes it clear that there's nothing wrong and everything right about intimacy in a marriage. Satan's great strategy when it comes to intimacy is to do everything he can to encourage intimacy outside of the marriage and to discourage intimacy within the marriage. You can do whatever you want, he tells us. This claim is everywhere, in every movie. The wise Solomon warned against this already. That your body is your own to do what you want. In Proverbs 9, we read this in verse 17 to 18. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love in the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. This was the prostitute Folly who said this, who tempted the church. Folly means stupidity. And she claimed that a forbidden fantasy was the best fantasy. That a meal that she brings is stolen pleasures. And in the book of Proverbs, we find a lot of emphasis on one of our greatest problems, sexual immorality. The things we are facing today. Folly is telling us that we should do something. And people are listening to her. The media buys in. The world is listening because the food she offers looks good. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Such a marketable commodity. And its advertising is meant to lure men and women into a sort of an adulterous affair. This is Satan's temptation, his strategy. And the sad part is all the time we are giving in to this false advertisement. We see now movies with sexuality plastered on the screen. We're buying into this advertisement. And we are raising a generation desensitized to and poised for sexual immorality. People are buying into this. The lie that reaching over the boundaries of marriage is not only acceptable, but it's fun. The best kind of fun. But it's also a fine print. A disclaimer in Proverbs 9. Verse 27, a house is the way to Sheol. going down to the chambers of death. That's the consequence of immorality. The product is deadly. Most, though, don't pay much attention to disclaimers anyway. But Follies Meal give a warning. Her guests are in depths of grave. This is where the world who lives without the Lord, those who set in their hearts there's no God, will end. It will end in eternal death. And therefore, Paul also talks about single people and widows in this passage. He does this with great compassion. Verses 8 to 9, to the unmarried and the widows I say that it's good for them to remain single, as I am. And he names this as a gift, something that the Lord gives, something that you need to pray for. But he also tells us that if you cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. And the principle stays. While Paul recognizes that some are gifted for marriage and some are gifted for the unmarried state, no one is gifted for sexual immorality. This is not from the Lord. And so the married must live faithfully to their spouse and the unmarried must live celibate. For a Christian, there's good news. It starts with our calling. Where the Lord called us out of darkness into light. And this means that calling is the utmost work of God, where God opened our eyes so that we can see Christ and be holy as God's church. And we are called to be holy, to live as we are called in our marriageness, in our singleness, as husband of one wife, as one wife, one husband, also 1 Timothy 3. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. And if that's the truth, then they can be elders, requirement of an elder. The wives will be so involved, Shil and Sarah, and all our wives in our ministry. To be holy means to live differently from the world. God saved us in Jesus. God gave us His Spirit. And through the Spirit, He has given us a new heart. And He is at work restoring us to what we should be, so that we can exercise self-control. And therefore, your sexuality doesn't define you. God defines you. His Word. And so the Spirit is working in us to put to death our old nature. This is the life of sanctification, where we become more like Christ and less of ourselves and this world. This is the life to which we are called. Then we will also understand that marriage was instituted so that we can be holy. And we are called to be holy. As Christians, essential to God's plan for marriage is the essential oneness between husband and wife. And the reason for this oneness is to establish a proper environment for raising godly children. That's the reason Paul gave in verse 14. Therefore, the marriage was given so much emphasis in this chapter. And our calling as believers, as elders, as ministry workers. But what was happening in Corinth that Paul put so much stress on the Christian marriage? Verses 12 to 14 suggested that some Christians were separating from their husbands. They were all likely believers and they became believers. but their husbands not. These wives felt now unholy through their unbelieving husbands. Paul warned against this practice in verse 12. And he said the only reason for divorce is immorality. And in the most extreme circumstances of unfaithfulness. And Paul gave reasons for this teaching. And he stated in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. What does Paul mean by holy? He means that God, who is in his nature holy, treat marriage as holy, an account of the partner that is called God's child. This does not mean that a marriage partner is saved automatically by being married to a Christian. But it means that in your calling as a Christian, your calling to proclaim the gospel, in your calling to portray Christian conduct, you have now allowed the unbeliever to hear the gospel and salvation that's only to be found in Jesus. And because of this, Paul assured in verse 14, otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. They're holy because of God's faithfulness, God's covenantal love, and they also have the same opportunity as the unbelieving partner to hear the gospel, to be raised by a Christian. That's God's grace. And to hear that salvation is only to be found in Jesus. Beloved, you have a calling as God's people in this world. And the calling becomes clearer. We need to be holy. We need to be holy in a world that propagates unholiness. This is your calling as office bearers. This congregation. To call the congregation to holiness. But this is your calling also in your marriages to be holy. This is your calling in your life as a single. This is your calling as a widow and widower. And in your calling as a believer and as an elder, remember this, that the calling is not about ourselves, but about Jesus and the proclamation of the gospel. So what should we do then? For our elders, when we visit and do home visits, and they work, call people to holiness. And we visit because God cares for his people. There's also the remark for our elders, take especially care of your marriage. Give the right attention to your marriage, brothers, sisters, elders, pastor, deacon. God has called us to be holy in our marriages, to be holy in life. Only in this world, sanctified. And to act in love towards one another so that his holiness and his glory can be proclaimed through our Christian example. Be holy. Then you are proclaiming the gospel. Then you are proclaiming that the Lord is holy. Live according to God's word. Be an example in conduct. Live as an example in a world that's not holy anymore. Australia, that bought in with the lies of immorality, that you can do what you want, whatever you need. And know it's through grace that we are saved. It's through grace that we are called God's children. It's through grace that we can be holy as God's children. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you called us to be holy.
to become more like your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In contradiction to this world, who tells us you can do whatever you like. You can live according to your desires. But we know that these desires will lead to a life of death. Therefore, we are following the light that our Lord Jesus Christ brought, the light of the world, where light dispelled the darkness. This is what the gospel is doing as well. It makes us free. Free in our Lord Jesus Christ, free from ourselves, free from our sinful desires to follow you. Father, we pray for our elders. We pray for our elders that are installed this morning, but for every elders. We pray for every office bearer and for every Christian that are called to be holy in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.